Ralph Kermit Winterode II with the second hour of the Ralph Winterode Show, the Truth Seeker of the Far North. And we just finished up the last hour here on child custody issues. Someone else that documentation of the immoral child custody folks, feeding these sexual perverts and acts of violence, and nobody does anything. And our the politicians, not my politicians, or somebody else's politicians, because I'm not a registered voter. Can't vote. I'd have to commit treason. It's Class B felony to sign up under the penalties of perjury to be a citizen of the United States when you're not. And I'm not. Doesn't exist. And, boy, with the problems we're having in Alaska right now, it'd be a full power of attorney to Uncle Teddy, Ted Stevens, and Aunt Lisa, Lisa Murkowski. Oh, my golly gee whiz. I just can't imagine anybody that'd give them a full power of attorney over your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But that's what the registered voters in America are doing. That's what the people in Alaska that are doing that sign up for the permanent fund. Everybody says, hey, just go out there and steal as much money as you can from those other citizens of the United States of the lower 48 and bring it back to Alaska. And Uncle Teddy's been doing real well. And, of course, Frank Murkowski, our ex-governor, ex-senator, ex-senator that was up there, he was right in there with Ted. But Mr. Teddy Stevens, of course, his son's going to be indicted. There's no doubt about that because the Bill Allen of Vico has already pled guilty to felony counts. And without naming him, they named the amounts that they gave to a senator sitting down in Juneau for the state Senate seat. And, of course, that's got to be a little bit Ben Stevens. So he'll be coming down with any luck. Well, boy, you know, we can just keep our fingers crossed. I'd like to see Juneau cleaned out. It'd really be nice if we could get rid of those people down there. We've only got one mayor or one governor, Sarah Palin. Don't know if she's Lily White, but I'm telling you one thing. In comparison to what we've had down there, she's Lily White. She actually has morals and ethics and has some logic and reason. Boy, is that a shocking situation to find in the world of politics. Well, we're going to talk about this hour, and I can unequivocally tell you that the people in Congress, everybody's deemed to know the law, they love to shove it our way. They're domestic terrorists by their own definitions, and they're all committing acts of treason. I have in my house right now two of 35 books. There are 34 in the public arena. I actually have one that Maxine sent to me that I can keep that I'm going to be copying and I'm going to be putting out for a donation, but I'm going to have to include Title 48 and Title 18 because they're interlocked. This one is referring back to the Title 40, 1940 code. So I'll be putting those together here. I'll have it in a few days here because it's so important to get this out of these 34 in the public area. Most of them are sitting in law colleges or in courts where, of course, you're not going to get them out. It's just absolutely amazing. There's no doubt, absolutely no doubt. And Maxine also sent me a Supreme Court Rules of 1950, a book, and I'm going to be copying that and putting that out. And right at the very beginning, they talk about in 1911, they took the Circuit Court of the United States, which is based all that stuff, this nonsense started with prima facie evidence of law in 1878 revised statutes. That is what the parallel government outside the Constitution is all based on. It looks like, but it's not. It's like a hologram. There's nobody home. Hear the music, so we'll continue on with the circuit court, and then we'll get back to the District Court of the United States and the great overthrow of 1948. So we'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
I found this company. company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073. Or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show out of Alaska. A little rainy today, a little cloudy, but we're had to water my natural lawn out here with all the things that are out there, flowers, weeds, and other natural things, because I don't do that green stuff anymore. Gave that up. Too much work. We'll talk about today on the second hour. And, by the way, if you want to hear more information like this, the real uncensored truth, Republic Broadcasting, that can always use money because these shows aren't free. So I suggest that you go on the Internet and look up Republic Broadcasting. We have a call-in number, 1-800-313-9443 if you got any questions today. But what I'm going to talk about is it's conclusive evidence of what happened in 1948. But prior to, there's all kinds of things happened prior to 1948. And, the problem is, though, if we lose our independent courts, where's our remedy? We have no remedy, folks. We have none today. And what they did, and it says so right in the front of this Supreme Court book that I have here, the rules, which I'm going to be 500-some pages, it says unequivocally that in 1911, in the Judicial Code, they transferred the powers of the Circuit Court of the United States to the District Court of the United States. Now stop and think about how the courts of the United States were set up initially in 1789. There was the District Court of the United States where had true law issues, no administrative nonsense. And if there was an issue of law, or fact, the next level up in the court was called the Circuit Court of the United States. Now, Article 3, Law and Equity, arise under the Constitution. The power is derived from Article 3. Admiralty does not arise under Commerce. It was already here. Only Law and Equity. And it says all cases in Law and Equity. And it's exercising the judicial power. So now we go to 1911. We take a Circuit Court of the United States, and we abolished it, and we transferred the power to the District Court. Well, first of all, that violates the most sensible tenet of logic. How can the court, where I have the, quote, action or the suit originate, and I have a problem in law or fact, what court do I go to if you abolish the court that I'm my next higher court up? It's illogical. You can't posit in the same court the, quote, appellate side along with where it originates. It's illogical. Of course, the first question, again, gets back to why would you want to abolish, and you got to pay attention to the name, Circuit Court of the United States. Of shows source, origin, and relationship, like the Son of God. Shows the relationship between the Son and God. The is an article, a specific, not a generic, a specific. It's an article. The United States, not a whole passel of them that Congress wants to try to define, because Congress can't define the United States. It's not in their power. So they abolished the Circuit Court of the United States, and they put in the Circuit Court of Appeals. You notice what's missing? Not one word about the United States. That's an admiralty court, contract court. Could also hear equity type, but technically without law, you can't really do equity. So it's a contract, commerce type court. So now we come along to 1948. And I've tracked this up through, documented, because I want to have it in a public record. I want to see how they did it, because we can't defeat these people and get a republic back till we can understand, and with some specificity, how they got it away from us. Every, without exception, problem that we have in America goes back to the Civil Rights Act of 1866. They created this fictitious status, and when we enter, go through the wormhole and enter the land of Oz, where Congress writes the script, there is no way to win. It's impossible to win. Because Congress is writing the script for the land of Oz. It's fictional. Just made it up. But getting back to 1948, they created also in 1909, Title 18, the Crimes and Offenses. But they tied the law side for the crimes back over to Title 28 in the code. Because we always want to start off giving it the appearance that everything is happy. It's all legal. So once they got that tied in, they went up to 1948. They broke the link from Title 18, Crimes and Offenses. There are no more crimes and offenses. It's just offenses now. They broke the link to the cognizance of the class of cases called crimes and offenses in Title 28. They had to break the link because they created a fictitious system nowhere, absolutely nowhere. I've been through 570-some documents on Westlaw, and this book that I've got now conclusively proves what I'd already known and what I could prove through other means, but I like to do these things with public records so there's no opinion. They wrote it. I just learned how to read it. They have never abolished the district courts of the United States. Never. Never abolished them. What they did, they created a whole new court system, brand spanking new in the land of Oz, outside the constitutional powers delegated, or not delegated, but granted to Congress. And you can see this also because, like in the territories we used to have in Alaska, we had the United States District Court. It's amazing they never changed the name when we, quote, become one of the several states. Of course, we never did. We never even got a smell. We came along so late. We were so corporatized that we didn't even have sheriffs or counties. I mean, that's how far we are. But they created a whole new system. Did not, I repeat, did not abolish the district courts of the United States. They did it in Title 28, Section 132. And what they did, they combined the territorial and possession 641, which is the territory of Alaska, and they tried a whole bunch of cases, along with the federal courts, the courts of the United States within the several states. So, of course, the most obvious question is, well, what's wrong with that? Everything is wrong with that. Absolutely everything. First of all, the legislative courts, which are Article I courts, which are at the will and whim of Congress. They are not independent of Congress. Congress creates them for some specific reason to serve Congress's purpose. They're Article I courts. An Article III court is absolutely it's mandated that Congress shall vest in the courts of the United States the judicial power of the United States. It is prohibited that Congress can control what goes on in an Article III court, because if Congress can control it, we do not have a separation of powers. That's one simple way to state an Article III court arises under the Constitution from the sovereign power granted by and through the several states, by and through the Constitution of the United States, for Congress to create courts to which Congress cannot control. Because if Congress can control it, we don't have three branches of government. Now, I just put out an extensive email on one issue on that. I have a special list that costs a $120 donation, which I put out the documents in support. So you don't have to go looking these things up, because that's one of the things that used to irritate me, is I get all this information, then I got to go check it out, and I start checking it out, and I find out somebody's misquoted or it's not there, and I said, oh, I'm not going to waste my time. I have three email lists, by the way, justbelly.com. It's JUSBELLI.com. It's JUS like Jack, JUS, then Bell like Ring a Bell.com. I haven't been updating my homepage. I've got somebody now that's going to start doing that, and we're going to start waging a lawful and legal, peaceful war on these people. These fascist, treasonous people that are in power. But we can't do it without knowledge. And then, hopefully, I lost you there. I don't know what happened. Okay. One of the issues that we lost a connection there for just a second. I don't know if we went through Arlington, and maybe those people are having trouble running in Arlington, Virginia. They're having trouble running the board over there. One of the Supreme Court cases that is really on this is Postum Cereal versus California Fig Nut. It's 272 U.S. 693, 272 U.S. 693. And it is one of the most basic concepts that we have that totally tells us that the IRS and these other issues, child custody, cannot be dealt with in these, quote, United States District Courts. And this is talking about here about what happens in the District of Columbia. And I'm going to read a little bit of this because it's really important, this concept, and I don't know how to get it out except just keep expanding on it. And hopefully people will start to understand or start asking questions. I hear the music for a break, so we'll have a little short segment, so we'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
This is Ralph Kripa, Winterroad II, back with the Ralph Winterroad Show. We're out of Alaska today. Truth Seeker of the Far North. And talking about the Internal Revenue Service and about the total overthrow of the courts of the United States that exercise judicial power under the authority of the United States. They did in their fictional world, the circuit courts of the United States and changed them to the circuit courts of appeals. Of course, the word United States just happens to be gone there. And then we changed around the United States district courts, which, of course, existed in the territories, where there is no judicial power of the United States existing. And again, simply stated, an Article I court is a court created by Congress, which Congress controls. They can control what goes into the court, what goes out of the court. Just like they do the United States District Court today. You challenge the IRS and they say, no, we can't tell you if you're a taxpayer. That's in Title 28, Section 2201. Well, now, wait a minute. How could I be charged with a legal duty? Because it's mandatory, it's so basic, it's a maxim. Every lawyer knows about legal duty because they're in it for their money. Legal duty requires two parties. And it means what relationship do I have to the other party? Well, wait a minute. If one of the two parties the court can't even have jurisdiction over, how can I be prosecuted criminally? They like to play that card when you go up on the other side because when the IRS comes out of their virtual computer, which I've conclusively proven, they create a fictional debt coming out of a computer with no way to ever test the will and statutory authority of Congress. The court says, well, we don't have jurisdiction. We've got the Anti-Injunction Act. Just pay up. I mean, you got all through. If you have no family and no property, then you go to the court of claims, hopefully, hoo-ha, and get some money back. Oh, that's a heck of a system. But do you know who in Title 28, Section 2201, the United States District Court say we can talk about? Oh, we can talk about 501c3s, fiction and law. That ought to be a wake-up call right there. Now, wait a minute. You can tell me about a fiction and law, but if I'm a, quote, American citizen or a citizen of one of the several states or a citizen of New York, I'm domiciled, not a resident, I'm domiciled somewhere, and I'm under the law of nature and nature's God, you can't tell me if I have a legal duty? What kind of court are you? Anyway, getting back to this Postum case that I was talking about, I think, first of all, I'll go to another case that's right on point. It should be mandatory reading. It's Martin versus Hunter's lessee, and it's 14 U.S. 304, 14 U.S. 304, and let's see, this case came along in 1816, and it is unequivocally, I mean, it's a right on point, and I'm going to read a little bit out of it and then talk about this thing, because it's right on point. We may not, I've got the hour coming up here, half hour. Says the judicial power must therefore be vested in some court by Congress. And to suppose that it was not an obligation binding on them, but might at their pleasure be admitted or declined, is to suppose that under the sanctions of the Constitution, they might defeat the Constitution itself, and the construction which would lead to such a result cannot be sound. That's right out of Hunter's. And the expression is shall be vested. Shall be. It's not you might, you could, might, you should have. It's shall be. That is a grant. That's a limited delegation of us going to the grant in Congress. You shall give us our court so that we can have a place to go to have the judicial power of the United States. Have issues between citizens of the several states, issues of law and fact. In all cases, it says all cases in Article 3. Don't say the ones that Congress wants to prohibit in law and equity. And that's what they've done, is they have very quietly, in 1948, finally, they put all of the law and equity court, the only one that was left in their world, the land of Oz, they quietly moved it back. This is with the help of Westlaw, Thompson, and a whole bunch of high-powered attorneys, Supreme Court of the United States, and that whole parcel, most of those senators and representatives. They very quietly said, let's put the Constitution in the back there in a closet, turn the light out, and we're going to create a whole new district court. And guess where this judicial court's going to be vested? The judicial power. It says right in Title 28, 1932, judicial power is going to be vested in the district court. Now, wait a minute here. I thought the judicial power of the United States, which is a grant from the several states to the people, what happened to the United States? That's what it says, Title 28, 132, I'm sorry. Judicial power is vested in a district court. Well, who's the district court? You go to the rules, that's the judge. Hoo-ha. Bow down and kiss these tootsies. Guess what? There's your fascist leader right there, and he is it. That's why in all the IRS cases, they can't seem to come up with the law. Actually, there is a law. There is a duty. That's another thing that's going rampant around the Internet, that there's no law that creates the legal duty. There absolutely is. Absolutely. But people don't want to look at the facts for some reason. I don't know. I'm just shocked why people can't look. It's in 6012. I've got a brief under the signature of somebody in the government. Said it's in 6012 where you are required to fill a return. You must go to the regulations, which is mandated under 7805 of Title 26. The IRS can't do anything. It says they must, if they're going to enforce it, be regulations. They can't do it just by statute. I hear the music, so when we come back, we're going to get back to Postum and more about the Internal Revenue Mafia and the treasonous cowards in D.C.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Ralph Kermit Winterroad, out of Alaska, Ralph Winterroad Show. And I'm going to get to this Postum case. I'm going to read one more little part because a lot of these cases are not on point. And the Hunt Martin versus Hunter's lessee is right on point. And this is on page 330 in that case. If, then, it is a duty of Congress to vest the judicial power of the United States, it is a duty to vest the whole judicial power. Excuse me. The language is imperative. As to one part, it is imperative as to all. If it were otherwise, an anomaly would exist that Congress might successively refuse to vest the jurisdiction in any one class of cases enumerated in the Constitution and thereby defeat the jurisdiction to all. For the Constitution has not singled out any class on which Congress are bound to act in preference to others. They must vest the whole judicial power of the United States to all cases in law and equity. That's a mandate. Excuse me, that's something they can just think about. They got to do it. So technically, it's all there. Oh, it's sitting there, the district courts of the United States, with the judicial power of the United States. The problem is there's no billing with the courts in it today. And, of course, we don't have any Article III judges anymore because they started getting it in the late 1890s. They put them all, moved them all over and made them judicial officers and moved them into the Department of Justice. This has been a long, drawn-out process of abrogating our constitutional secured rights called inalienable rights. And, of course, to come at this another way, the courts in law and equity cannot deal with administrative issues because those are the things that Congress would like to grant as, like, benefits. They can never be heard under the judicial power of the United States. They can't hear them. This is why they cannot ever combine the territorial courts, which they've done. The District of Columbia, by the way, they did change its name in 1948, actually in 49. They changed its name, but they have never, ever changed the district courts of the United States to the United States District Courts, because that would be an absolute blatant act of treason. So we always say, well, golly, Ralph, the courts are there. You signed up to be a citizen of the United States. You wanted all of their same rights as all them white citizens. And I got your signature here on the Social Security card. I've got it when you went into the military. I got it on your driver's license. I got it on your... You registered to vote. That's under the penalties of perjury. You say you want us in charge, so what's the problem? That's why there's no administrative issues. There's another issue, and I'm going to read it out of this Postum case, the 272 U.S. 693. The distinction between the jurisdiction of this court, which is confined to hearing and decision of cases in the constitutional sense, and that of administrative action and decision, power for which must be conferred upon courts of the district, is shown in the case, and they cite some cases, that it is pointed out that while Congress, in its constitutional exercise of exclusive legislation over the district, and they're talking about the District of Columbia, may clothe the courts of the district not only with the jurisdiction and power of the federal courts in the several states, but also with such authority as a state might confer on her courts and some other cases. And so may vest the courts of the district with administrative or legislative functions which are not properly judicial. Here's the important part. It may not do so with this court or any federal court established under Article 3 of the Constitution. Such legislative or administrative jurisdiction, it is well settled, cannot be conferred on this court either by either directly or by appeal. The principle there recognized and enforced on reason and authority is that the jurisdiction of this court and the inferior courts of the United States ordained and established by Congress and by virtue of the third article of the Constitution is limited to cases and controversies in such form that the judicial power is capable of acting on them, and it does not extend to the issue of constitutional law framed by Congress for the purpose of invoking the advice of the court without any real parties, or to a real case, or to administrative or legislative issues or controversies. How can you have the IRS without real parties? Congress has prohibited. They prohibited that you're not a taxpayer. Well, if you're not a taxpayer, how can you be prosecuted criminally? Because you can't be prosecuted criminally as a taxpayer if there's no legal duty. There's got to be two parties. You can't have a legal duty without two parties. You can't be married without a man or woman. Unless you get in the land of Oz, and you can be, I'm not sure where it limits there. I don't know. Two guys, two gals, dog, cats. I don't know where it's going to go. Man, child, who knows? In the world of reality, in our Judeo-Christian world, in reality, there's got to be two parties. A legal duty. Cheek, which is a very well-known case in the IRS world. And you put this information out before the attorneys of the world, because we don't have any counselors at law anymore. They're gone by the wayside. The same place that the people of the several states, not knowing what it means, have signed up to be a citizen of the United States. I got to agree with one radio talk show host I heard the other night. He's on later at night up here. Says, I don't think the people in America really want liberty and want to be free. It's a scary thought. And what's even more of a scary thought is that, and I've been in front of these a jury on a criminal issue, and I impeached the whole jury, and of course nobody's going to have any part of it. It's so easy to impeach the judge or the people that are sitting on the jury because they don't know. But the scary part is that you're going to be, somebody makes up a phony charge, whether it's true or not, and you're going to be sitting in people that are profess to be citizens of the United States and are clueless about our inalienable rights, about the law of nature and the nature's God. They have no idea. They're clueless. And this is going to be a trial of jury of my peers. This concept that I'm talking about with the courts is conclusive. If Congress makes an Article I court, that's a Congress that Congress, it's a court that Congress makes up to do what Congress wants that court to do, and they can control it, abolish it, do whatever they want. They can have it today and gone tomorrow. They can limit who has access to it. An Article III court is not an Article I court. Congress is mandated to put the whole judicial power for all cases. It can't hear administrative issues of Congress. It's barred by law. And they can't do away with it. And it's got to be 100% independent. If Congress can control the access to the United States District Courts, which they do, no taxpayer can be declared by that court. Logic tells me, how can I be convicted in that court? And it's done because the lawyers are in on it, or they're, most of them are ignorant. I'm ready to believe that anymore. From the very few that I have talked to, they're ignorant. They really don't know. They know procedure ad nauseum. They don't know law. And the thing is, it's conclusive again. It started way back in the Habern's case, which anybody that's tuned into this to listen to me talk has talked about before. The party that can tell you who a taxpayer is posited in an agency. Now, they have no executive power or any type of power from anybody. They're an agent. But it's sitting in a regulation. It's sitting in a regulation. So, in actual, I could be brought up on IRS charges, and then the IRS agency could say, no, Ralph's not a taxpayer. It would act as a court of errors. Of course, they're not going to do that. But it's a public record, and it's under the statutory authority of Congress. Congress speaketh. And it's never brought up. Really, what we're getting back to is what I'm going to be putting out with this, making this available, which all kinds of people have fought this. I mean, this is not something new. The court, it isn't a question of jurisdiction. It does not have cognizance of this class of case to exercise the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States. Can't go there. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, too, is to put in a motion to transfer from the United States District Court for the District of Alaska or wherever to a true District Court of the United States of wherever, exercising the judicial power and under the authority of the United States. Now, there should be an interesting question. What are those criminals going to do in those courts? And when two or more people, Supreme Court says this, when two or more people bring the law up to these people and they proceed forward, they're waging war on the laws of the United States, and that's treason. And that's what's going on today. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can't even believe with all of these supposedly high intellectual law professors that they're not teaching some of this, or that they can't see it, or their eyes, I don't know, maybe they got so smart they're stupid. Or are they so smart that they're in on it? And what's even more amazing is you talk to some of these attorneys and you say, here it is. I didn't write it. I've asked them, okay, if you think a citizen of the United States is so good, where does it have inalienable rights? It didn't come along until 1866 and Congress made it up, so it must be a good thing. Well, we have a caller, Art, North Carolina. Go ahead.
How's everything going?
Well, I tell you, we're just pounding the heck out of them, and pretty soon we're going to have the conclusive and legal evidence of a public record of the acts of treason.
Unbelievable. Listen, I want to kind of ask you kind of a brief question. Are you saying that there aren't any true Article III courts, or there still are Article III courts, you just need to actually create a court into an Article III court?
No, we can't recreate it. You can't change the United States District Courts. You can't change those judges. They're all employees. They all have Form 61s. What I am saying, there was collusion from the Supreme Court clear down to the judges through Congress in 1948. They very quietly put the true district courts of the United States that exercise judicial power, they just quietly put them in a closet and closed the door. And they created, they said, let us enter the wormhole, let us go through this portal, and let's go into the land of Oz, and we will create an illusion called the United States District Courts, because we are mandated under the Constitution. Now, we wouldn't want to violate the Constitution, so we cannot abolish the judicial power of the United States courts. We'll just create an overlay because, see, we've hoodwinked everybody since we did all of these other issues to be a citizen of the United States, and they have all agreed to, or most of them have, that they want a fictional world. They don't want to have their liberty. They've all signed up for it, so we're just obliging. There's no law that says Congress cannot create benefits. But they don't tell us what we have to surrender. We have to surrender our soul. We are signing up with Lucifer to benefits, and then Congress has a full power of attorney over our life, liberty, and property, and that is the seed of the root of the poisonous tree.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I'm still a little bit confused because, you know, we hear this all the time, but there are a lot of people out there that think there are indeed still some Article III courts. You're actually saying that there aren't.
There are none. None that I've seen. I've seen where the International Court of Commerce or whatever it is supposedly was rising under Article III. Okay,
yeah.
Well, the first thing that I would ask, the first thing that you must check is, the very first thing is, do they have a Form 61 where they've signed up to be employees?
Absolutely.
No employee. They have to be an officer of the United States, and that the first thing is there may be a court there, and the court may exist in law. But the next thing you have to understand is there's got to be an office. There's got to be an office for a judge to enter that court, and that must be created by Congress. And if the office isn't there, okay, you got a court, but there's nobody home.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you, you know, it just seems rough. They've closed off every avenue of escape completely, haven't they?
Well, what they did then, we still had the Supreme Court of the United States, which they cannot legislate out of existence. And they really can't put it in the closet like they did the district courts of the United States. So what they did in 1988, they created a statutory writ of certiorari. And now we no longer, because they killed the true writs of error in 1928. That's the issue of law. If I have an issue of law, where do I go? They killed it in the federal courts in the courts of the United States in 1928. So what they did in 1988, they said, we are going to create a fictional writ of certiorari, because the writ of certiorari is for the lower court to bring the record up.
Sure.
So they created a fictional writ of certiorari, and they said, and that's right in the notes, the Supreme Court can pick and choose without looking to the merits. Well, if you don't look at the merits, there is no substantive issues. And you don't have to look at the jurisdiction. You just pick and choose whatever you want. And if you don't want a case, fine. And then they go to even farther, these goofy attorneys, and they will cite and writ of certiorari denied. They put that on all of these court cases.
Incredible.
And the Supreme Court in many cases have ruled. They said the denial of a writ of certiorari does not validate in any means the lower court's decision. This means the Supreme Court said, nah, we're on cookie break today. We don't want to hear that one.
Incredible. Absolutely unbelievable. So as far as the Supreme Court goes, it's not even close to an Article III court, is it?
No, it's there in the law. Now, I tried a writ of error.
Yeah.
And they refused to hear the writ of error. Well, if I can't get the law declared, where do I go? I have no remedy.
Right.
And then they've stole my citizenship. They can't steal my citizenship. They can't steal my birthright of being born on the land. I was born, and I have the law of nature. Nature's God in this country. And I don't care who they say or what they say. I've got it, and you're not going to take it away from me.
You know, it's kind of odd, Ralph, because I've argued some of these cases in court, and I know that you have a tremendous amount of experience arguing them. And they'll actually sit there and pretend like they have no idea what you're even talking about.
Well, it is. I used to go into the, because I've tried about everything that's come along. I used to go in and say, let the record show that the Constitution of the United States and the laws made pursuant thereof are not the rule of law of this court. And further, let the record show that there's no public officer of the state of Alaska sitting domicile, and the person sitting up here in the black robe is impersonating a public officer. He's in violation of the law and in violation of a felony. And I'm actually the judge that did my criminal thing. I arrested him, citizen's arrest twice, for being a committing treason and for being a domestic terrorist, and I have the certified documents in my hand.
Unbelievable.
And of course, I mean, they think Paris Hilton got a thing, but she, I had a, quote, a Chickaloon driver's license from a bunch of welfare war groups up here that set me up. I mean, that's just what they are, that Chickaloon bunch up there. I mean, that's not derogatory to all Indians, but that's what that particular band of them are. And the bottom line is I got 6 months for having a suspended driver's license, and it wasn't even suspended. I could have walked over any time I got a state of Alaska one, but I was supposedly fighting for a good cause. Well, I got set up, but we all learned don't fight somebody else's cause, because when you fight somebody else's cause, it means they're probably cowards.
Absolutely. Now, if
anyway, I got 6 months, and they suspended it and put me in jail for 30 days for a suspended driver's license, and here I'm walking in here, and here these people are getting for DWI and accidents, and they're spending 3 days, 7 days in jail, and I got 30?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, and then in my sentencing, they said, well, we're going to have shock treatment, and they said right in the thing, you got to quit posting this stuff on the Internet, boy.
Well, listen, all I can say is excellent show. I certainly appreciate everything you're doing for us. Thank you, Ron.
Okay, well, stay tuned, and the fight's not over yet. We're going to break it. We'll be back in a minute.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Show out of Alaska today, and we have Richard on from Alabama. Are you there, Richard?
Time is short, and I don't have the time to give you all the things that are on my mind, but I recommend you study these documented foreign nationals, the Mexicans and all the other nationalities, and the way they're able to never file a 1040, open up a business and hire all their relatives and never file anything with the IRS, and how they can bring in a non-attorney counsel into court and, you know, from the consulate and have representation who's not a member of the bar. They're the only class of people that I know that can do that. And they can also get cases reversed at post-conviction on the basis of jurisdiction.
Do you have one case in mind that you could give a cite on?
Well, it's just examples where the judges seem to reverse convictions and do away with fines even after people have been convicted, and then you just let them out, you know, after 4 or 5 days. They get a call from the consulate, and they just let them go.
Well, that's what I said. I'd like to see one of those cases. I mean, I don't doubt what you're saying. The bottom line is we're being overrun by people of the from Mexico, and they're illegal. And the bottom line is it doesn't make a difference where you come from, what the color skin is. If you're here illegally, it's illegal.
Yeah, but what I'm recommending is there's things to be learned about the jurisdiction, the jurisdictional limits of the courts, but by studying their cases.
Well, I guess, you know, they can be in international law and counsel, but see, the thing is, if you've been listening, the problem is that these courts, they don't work for us. They're foreign. They're as foreign to us as if this court that was made out of Russia.
Yeah, they're all international commerce, in my opinion.
Well, they're admiralty and contract courts, in reality, and they technically can do a little bit of equity without the law, which is like a misnomer. But that's all they are, and it's right in the 1940 code. That's what they are. Mm-hmm. And that's why they had to, in their world, get rid of abolish the Circuit Court of the United States, because that was the first level of where you would have the law determined from a district court of the United States. And that's why they always change the names. And anytime you can go back to the Judiciary Act and you start looking at all the acts prior to the Civil War, you won't find them defining all these terms. Anytime you start defining state, United States, and all this nonsense, that tells you right there these guys are outside the Constitution.
Yeah, they get you to stipulate to a new definition of a word.
Well, let's just take the Real ID Act. You will find this unequivocally in any act of Congress by some means. There are two things they always have to address, your status and the several states. So you go to the Real ID Act and you'll find the United States is defined, or a state. It'd be in a territorial, geographical sense, which is like an airplane flying over the top or like a corporate. There's no boundaries. There's no several states. And it's always for a citizen of the United States, or they'll tie the Social Security number, which is mandated to be a citizen of the United States. Well, unequivocally, it's always in every act. All you got to do is look for it. I just go look for that. And like the Real ID Act, you know what there's one sentence that takes which I got to get out to people. Ask the senators and representatives, does the Real ID Act have any application to the citizens of the several states domiciled in one of the several states? And it doesn't. That's it. That's all there is to it. You have to, it's just like in the V for Vendetta, the problem is look in the mirror. It's us, because we have signed up to be slaves. I hear the music, so we'll be back in a second. Okay, well, we'll be back in next week, and stay tuned.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years.